From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the 31st day of January, 2016. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. We'll check the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and discuss the brand new Gardner Agriculture Policy Program here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Jonathan Kappas will join us to take up what the program will do and how it will look into farm policies across the state, the nation, and the planet. We'll do all of that on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Normally we talk with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He's out of the office this afternoon. John Hester joins us when that happens, and he joins us now. Hey, John, thanks for being with us and filling in for Wayne today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Hey, so what have you thought about this market in the last couple of days of trade for the month of January? We've now finished that month up, and we'll look forward to February as well.
Well, I think a lot of it is attributed to the China being on Lunar New Year and the worry over some of Trump's policies that could impact our grain trade, and the improvement of South American weather. And I think you throw those things together, and the big boys were taking profits and getting out of some of their long positions.
Did you find it of interest that they took those profits, and while yesterday we got into range where lead option soybeans might end up with an outside down month for January, this last trading day of the month, they managed to hold on, and we finished with an outside month up in that particular contract?
Yeah, I think that the, you know, everybody is pretty, feeling pretty strongly that, you know, next week that there's still a lot of demand for our corn and beans from China and maybe some other places, and they think the demand's going to stay there for another month, and exports will pick up again starting next week.
And why is that the case? Do you suppose that that's just the feel in the trade? Normally, we begin to, at some point, maybe not quite this early, move exports towards the South American time frame. But I suppose it's really very early in the year so far.
It's a little early, and, you know, their harvest is not, it's a little behind times in South America. And, you know, I think any major purchases are going to have to come from the U.S. for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Are producers concerned at all about yesterday's drop in the soybean price if they have old or new crop? And I know they'll have new crop to sell. Soybeans?
Yeah, I was very busy yesterday. You know, people calling wanting to know what was going on. And, you know, it was pretty hard to explain to them why it was down so much. And, you know, it was hard to understand yourself why it was down. But, you know, and I think there's a lot of nervousness in the market over Trump and, you know, maybe some of the policies that he might implement. And, you know, a lot of them didn't realize that it was Lunar New Year in China. And so they're basically not in the market this week or very lightly in the market.
Yeah, so that would be one of the reasons that people are looking forward to, I suppose, a better export number. And the numbers weren't bad this week, but for those exports to begin to really move and for the trade to think again about them. And I suppose you're really of the mind that we may have at least some support next week.
I think so, or that's my opinion. And, you know, the beans, they sold off. They've sold off quite a bit, but we haven't broken any major trend lines or anything yet in the beans. I consider we're still in the range, but we're on the bottom end of the range now.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us for the day and look forward to talking with you or Wayne again next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, John. That's John Hester. He is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Over the years, you know that the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences here on the Urbana-Champaign campus has had dedicated individuals that have followed farm policy. In my days as an undergrad and then early on in my career, they would have been folks like RGF Spitzy and Harold Geither, names some of you may remember. Bob Thompson, more recently, and now Jonathan Kappas are among them. There are names, too, that you will remember that are policy giants in the state that are in other organizations. Lynn Gardner is likely a name that many will remember as a giant in the farm policy arena. He worked with Illinois Farm Bureau. Lynn and Lila have both passed on, but their University of Illinois legacy, both are graduates, will live on here in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences in the Gardner Agriculture Policy Program, and was funded by the Leonard and Lila Gardner Illinois Farm Bureau Family of Companies Endowment. The Gardner Agriculture Policy Program will coordinate and prioritize efforts that focus on policies for the upcoming Farm Bill, conservation management policies, and policies related to international trade and global agriculture. There are four members of that team, names that you are probably already familiar with, at least a couple of them. Gary Schnitke and Jonathan Kappas will join the team, along with other FarmDoc team members, including Nick Paulson and Kathy Bayless. Jonathan Kappas stopped down to my office earlier today to discuss the program and why those particular Farm Bill conservation management, trade, and policy issues were chosen as the directive for the program.
Well, quite simply, those policy areas we expect to be of the utmost importance to farmers in Illinois, but also to have pretty key parts of the debate in Congress when the next Farm Bill is worked through. And so we figured to focus where we knew the interest was the strongest and where it was likely to really have an impact on the Farm Bill policy development.
Why is it important, do you think, to understand the research behind the policies that are developed?
Well, we think that we think there's a lot of work that has been done that we can use, but really just trying to find the best avenue and platform to pull together that research and get it into the public debate. So it is, you know, it's important from as somebody that lived through the last couple of farm bills, the ability to access really usable information and understand some of the history around the policy and how these policies have been formed over time and what goes into that debate and what has gone into past developments. So being able to get that and communicate that both to policymakers and to farmers and to members of the Farm Bureau and other organizations that are interested in it. We think that we can use the expertise that we have here, folks like Gary Schnitke and Nick Paulson and Kathy Bayless and myself, to be able to go through some of the things we've been working on, some of the things we intend to work on, really coordinate that and collaborate and sort of expand what we're doing and improve what we're doing. And then, you know, to do that, to be able to do that while carrying on Lynn Gardner's legacy and the incredible work that he did for so long, I think just is a really amazing opportunity.
Will the program make recommendations about ag policies, or is its goal to provide research and analysis?
Well, that's always kind of the tough aspect of it. Policy recommendations can be challenging in many ways, and you know, sometimes help, sometimes not. I think a lot of that will be a case-by-case determination as we go through the research and sort out what the issues are confronting Illinois farmers and what the research kind of tells us that what we find and learn through that process and then how we apply it. Whether that leads to a specific policy recommendation, a specific program design recommendation, and I don't know yet. And frankly, I'm not sure we'd get too deep into some of the design issues, but it may help highlight what is of the utmost importance in Illinois to Illinois farmers, and thus sort of feed into or help with the development of programs and policies, maybe more so than here, you know, a program should do X, Y, and Z. I think we'll look more at the underlying aspects and what the underlying research shows that, you know, if you do X, it'll have this kind of impact on the ground here in Illinois and what it'll mean to farmers, what it'll mean for trade issues, what it'll mean for conservation and natural resource questions. I think a lot of that would be where we'll focus.
What kind of outputs can we expect?
Yeah, so the key output and the key platform will be in coordination with the FarmDoc and FarmDoc Daily websites that we currently have. We will have very frequent policy posts. We'll have this sort of Gardner policy series. And so while we don't have a set day every week, we're going to try to get as frequent as possible, kind of depending on timelines. You know, certainly there'll be stretches where there may not be much going on. But so that will be the key platform, or the key outcome is using that platform and really focusing it in. We want to be able to yearly compile that into a single functional report. And then we're also going to plan for a seminar series or roundtable discussion on an annual basis that'll bring in some key policymakers or a key policymaker that'll present and talk to farmers and academics and try to elevate that further and get further information. And then, you know, as we go through this, we're also looking at how we can integrate this with online tool development and other resources that farmers use. You know, we learned some pretty valuable lessons in this last farm bill with the web tool development process, and we'd like to be able to continue that and expand on that and integrate the research we're doing here and the policy work we're doing with that kind of development. And so we're looking at sort of a range of alternatives, and you know, I think a lot of it will begin with these Gardner policy series articles on FarmDoc Daily and build out from there.
What do you think's at stake for farmers in Illinois, maybe across the Corn Belt in the next Farm Bill?
Well, it has certainly elevated trade and export issues in a way that maybe we hadn't anticipated even a year ago. I think the single sort of underlying response to that is uncertainty. We don't know exactly what the administration wants to do on trade, and we don't know exactly how that's going to impact exports for Illinois farmers. We know that that farm exports, commodity exports, corn and soybeans especially, are incredibly important to farmers across the country and certainly farmers in Illinois. And you know, given our water transportation facilities and capabilities, we are a lead exporter, and this is just important to the farmer's bottom line and to the ag industry in general. So we're concerned about it. I think it's something that we want to watch closely. We want to evaluate very closely what those impacts might be. And you know, one of the challenges in something like this is that even discussing a renegotiation of a trade agreement can have a ripple effect on a host of aspects of trade and export. And so it isn't just the details of the trade agreement, but a lot of the consequences of changes and a lot of how the countries interact with each other and react. I mean, we're seeing it now, frankly, in the discussions with Mexico and issues about border walls and border adjustment taxes and things like that that have the potential to ripple through exports and impact farmers and commodity exports. So we're going to be doing a lot of work on that and trying to sort it out as we go and do our best to understand what those implications might be and how it'll impact farmers and what it might mean for policy.
Any final thoughts?
First off, we're really excited about this. The four of us that are going to work on it most directly are really excited. We're honored, frankly, to have this opportunity. I think the history of how this has come about and the contribution Len made, I think it's an incredible reminder of what he did for so long. And so we're really honored to do our best to kind of carry that on and remind, just sort of reminder of the work that's been done and the really important role that Illinois agriculture has played in the policymaking development and in the processes for a long time. There's just some great names from Illinois that have worked on farm bills and farm policy, and so I think this is a chance to reinforce or reinvigorate that legacy and carry it on and hopefully hopefully expand on what we've done and really make an impact. And at the end of the day, we hope to help Illinois farmers and farmers across the country with policy, and I think that's. It's even more of an issue now with the challenges to income, the challenges from lower prices, and now the discussions about trade. And, you know, we haven't talked about conservation, but certainly with the water quality and nutrient loss reduction issues rising to the forefront, being able to help there as well. I think there's some really some great work that we can do and a lot of good information. So we look forward to it.
That's Jonathan Coppas talking about the brand new Gardner Agriculture Policy Program here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, located in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Naturally, you'll hear about those policy papers right here on the Closing Market Report, but you can read them as soon as they come out on the FarmDoc Daily website, too. That address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. In fact, you can learn more about the Gardner Agriculture Policy Program from an article that's posted there, dated on the 27th day of January. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, let's start right here in the United States. Big weekend for us, not really having to do with what's happening in the growing regions, but can you tell me about Houston maybe and what the expectations would be for all there and then other places around the country that might be, I may be having some snowfall on that same day for Sunday for the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, right now down around the Houston area, there's going to be a little bit of weather here mid to late in the week, but it looks like by Super Bowl Sunday, it should all be moving out. And we will, as we get into the weekend, see another little batch of what looks to be light snowfall move across the Great Lakes and portions of the Corn Belt in the Ohio Valley. But as we've seen this winter, it's not going to be a system that's going to wind up and become a big one. But we do see a pattern that is going to evolve next week that does look a little more potent, a little colder. And I do think Corn Belt in many areas of the nation's midsection will see some wintry weather next week, especially by the middle to the end of next week with some rain, some ice, and snow in some areas.
As we turn to the month of February, we begin to think about the growing season a bit more in the United States. Can you take us from problem areas, if they are, for instance, California, Texas, and the Southeast, and whether those problems have been alleviated and what you think about the springtime for the Midwest, too?
Okay, let's start out west. In California, there has been a remarkable change of fortune there. In fact, this is past week, the last extreme drought area was moved out of that category. There are still areas in Southern California that are still under drought conditions. But with more rains to come before the season's over, we'll see a remarkable turnaround there. Also, in the Southeast, the part of the nation that I'm concerned about is going to be in the South, Southeast, and maybe the Midwest as we get into the growing season. The Southeast in particular, while there has been some rains this winter, it was a very dry summer and fall. That is an area that we're going to watch. Portions of Texas and the Southern Plain states as well will be two areas that we're going to need to watch, as it looks to be dry going into the end of winter and into the start of spring.
And as we wrap up our time together, we'd better look a bit further to the south, Brazil and Argentina. Brazil in the midst, at least in Mato Grosso, of their harvest season. Argentina, mid-season for their crops.
Well, it looks pretty average. In Brazil, there might be a little concern with some wrapping up of the crops down there and some harvest and some wet conditions. Going to be a little bit moist down there. Argentina looking at near normal precipitation and temperatures as we go through the next week to 10 days. So maybe a few delays in Brazil because of some wet weather, and Argentina continued decent looking growing conditions.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.